Praise the Lord. We cannot wait to hear them. And we thank the Lord for the 105 years he established this testimony in 1918. Anyone here from that time when it was first established? Amen. No, but there are some, Brother Cato and others who are here, who worked hard in the early years. And we thank God for the legacy that was established and the legacy that we have going forward. And of course, Brother Neverson and others. And I'd like to use our anniversary celebration for us to consider not only the faithfulness of God, but that he expects us to remain faithful also. And there's no better example for what we ought to do in order to continue having a legacy going forward, in order to leave something for the next generation, in order to be successful as an assembly. The Word of God has mapped out what we ought to do. But the most beautiful thing about the Word of God is it's not only for, quote unquote, when we're gathered here, but it's for our personal lives as well. So, if you're a young person and you're going off to college, or if you're in college, you need to listen to God's Word. If you're going through something this morning, you need to listen to God's Word. If everything is okay, you need to listen to God's Word. And so we have that we are established by grace and we're moving forward by faith. So what better book to look at? This book tells us, if you're married, who should make the tea. The sisters had the tea function, right? So it's the book of Hebrews. Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And we want to see God's foundation. We want to look at what God expects us to establish in order to have a legacy going forward that is God-honoring. And we want to look at four key things here in Hebrews 11. We're going to look at verses 23 to 27, but I want you to, just for now, go back a little bit above that, and we want to look at the end of chapter 11, where it talks about the ones who came before. And in speaking of all the people, Moses and Sarah and Rahab, verse 39 says, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. You know what that's saying? They walked by faith before Christ came. That's the promise. They lived by faith before Christ came. Now watch this. God having provided something better for us. That's you and I. What's the better that he provided? Don't miss this. That they, the ones who came before us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. You know what that's saying? There's no privileged person in God's plan. You see, we're all going to be made perfect together. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we who are alive will be caught up together. And you know what this is speaking of? Resurrection glorification. So, the Bible says the old timers need us, but we need them so that together we can be perfected. So now we go to Hebrews chapter 12, and we want to see, Hebrews 11 verses 23 to 27, and we want to see four things. I just want you to look at four things that you need to establish in your life if you're going to be successful on your job, if you're going to be successful in school, if you're going to be successful in relationships, if you're going to be successful, more importantly, in your walk for God. So let's read it together. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. So the faith process starts with his parents. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, verse 24, when he matured, you see, the seeds of faith were planted. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused. If you've got your Bible with you, that's why I like a physical Bible, underline refused. If you can mark it somehow on your iPhone or your iPad, underline refused. To be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25, choosing, rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming, the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook, Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Eternal God, our Father, as we look into your most perfect word, we need your Holy Spirit to guide each person into the truth of your word. If there's someone here who doesn't know Christ, then we need your Holy Spirit to take your word and use it to convict them of sin and of righteousness and of the judgment to come. And for those of us who know Christ as Savior, we need your Holy Spirit to guide us into the truth of your word, to enable us to apply your word, that we may do your word in our lives. And that's how we walk by faith. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray, amen. You know very well the story of Moses. He was a slave. And all that he went through, his parents hid him. When other babies were being killed, his parents, by faith, hid him. And they could do no more than God took over. They put him by the Nile, but that was where they were drowning the babies. You know what the Word of God says? When you obey God, he makes your enemies your footstool. They put their baby in the place of death. God took over. Pharaoh's daughter opened the basket. The baby started crying. And a real woman can never see a baby crying and not be moved with compassion. Adopted Moses and raised him as her own. So he had all the pleasures of Egypt as his disposal. A young prince in Egypt. And the Bible says when he was matured, when he became of age, by faith he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. One of the things we understand as individuals and assembly is that there's something fused. I laugh when people say, well, they're all people. That's not true. They may call themselves people of faith, but who is their faith in? That you've got to find that out. Just because it's a council of churches doesn't mean everyone in that council is a person of faith. You know, I went to Abyssinian Baptist Church to attend school. And the person there speaking, talking of the man who was dead, said, well, he did all these things, he's in heaven, and I hope to be there myself. Now, he was a pastor. As a matter of fact, he was so much of a pastor, when someone wanted to, the person said to him, shall I come to the pulpit or stay down there? And he said, are you ordained? And the person said, no. He said, well, stay down there. That's how much of a pastor he was. And I was not the only one there. There were several members of Good Tidings there. You know what I'm talking about. You see, because they say they're a person of faith, my question is, if you're a person of faith, what have you refused? To be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But you can't just refuse, because if you refuse something, guess what? You can choose something. Choosing, don't miss this, rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. When you go to college, what do you refuse? What do you choose? When you go to work, what are you refusing? What are you choosing? You got it. Life is about choices. You know, my dad used to say to me, Archie, anybody can say and do anything to you, but only you can make you angry. I said, what do you mean? He says, well, you start thinking, who are they to say that? And they're not better than I am. And he says, before you know it, you work yourself up into a frenzy and you're angry. He says, only you can make you angry. So it's how I choose to respond. And I never forgot that, because I worked in an industry during my time when they weren't many of me there. And I remember going to meetings, and I know people were dismissing what I was saying simply because of what I looked like. And you know what I did? I said, God, only you can touch a heart. And there was this one particular individual, I'll never forget it. Person gave me a hard time. And one day he came into my office, closed my door, he says, Victor, I need to talk to you. What's going on? He says, somehow I think you're the only one who can help me. I'm having problems at home. I said, why do you think that? He said, there's just something about you. And I had the time to share the word of God with him. And you see, when you let God fight your battle, you know what the word of God says? Don't you try to fight him. He says, because you don't, then you don't allow me to use my wrath. You just have to step back and let God. You see, there's a refusing and a choosing that must take place. You've got to make a decision. Neutral, you cannot be. If you're here today and you're not saved, you can't say, well, I'm going to hear what the preacher says. I'm going to go home and decide. No, if the Holy Spirit is convicting you, neutral, you cannot be. You've got to make a choice. But not only is there a choosing, watch this, esteeming. You know what that means? What value system? What is your value system? You see, refusing and choosing establishes your identity. Esteeming establishes your value system. What is that value system that you have? Young ladies, if you are believing the Lord Jesus Christ, I hope your value system is God. And young men, he says you ought to be pure and untouched until you're married. That's God's value system. That's how much he values you. He says we ought to speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's his value system as it relates to how we speak. And you know what his value system is? Psalm 1, blessed. The young people were studying this. Blessed is the man who walks not, stands not, sits not with what? With the ungodly. That's talking about daily living. You're walking. Someone says something to you. Nope, can't do it. Why? I'm a child of the King. You're walking, they're whispering. If they get you to stop, watch out, because now they're going to run the con. Anyone had the con run on them? Well, you know, I like Joseph, right? He says, my master, he gave me this job. He has all this money. I'd be a fool to blow this gig. But he didn't stop there, because anybody can counter-argue your argument. That's why there's fake news. But you know what he said? How can I do this and sin against God? That was his value system. You see, your value system has to be, what does God say about what I'm doing? Now remember this, God expects us to love. He expects us to love not only each other, but the sinner, for we know they're on their way to a lost eternity. But he never expects us to value or agree with what they're doing. He says, I am God, I change not. So what is your value system? Because if you don't have a value system, guess what? The world is going to put one on you. They will. We see it in the news. The world's value system. Well, if I wake up today and think I'm a woman, I should be able to go into the ladies' room. And tomorrow, if I think I'm a dog, I should be able to play in the dog park, right? You see where this stuff can get you? What is your value system? What do you esteem the most? What do you hold the most? You know what the Bible says? It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Why? Because guess what he did? His value system. The cross was a joy. He endured and he despised the shame of the cross. Why? Because he knew, my name and was highly exalted. And he sat down on the right hand of God. So what is your value system? If we as an assembly ever lose the value system found in the word of God, watch out. We cannot be everything to all people. And that's why I liked about those who came before us. When they're building the building, they didn't want to go to the government or anyone to get money. That was their value system. And they were fighting and arguing, and they never realized how awesome God is, and he provided everything. Provided an organization, stewards, gave us the money for the rest of the finance. Then he provided a buyer for the old 7-9 so that we paid them off in the 2 years or so we were here. And God said, you honor me, I will honor you. So what is your value? As we go forward, we have to have a value system. Yes, we can introduce new methods, but those methods better not, better not, better not be against what's said in God's word. So it means some things we can do and some things we have to say, sisters, we can't do, young people, we can't do. Because the value system is such. You know what my value system is as an elder? The Bible says I have to give account for every soul in this local gathering. So yes, Archie can be hard. But Archie knows when he stands before God, I can't say, well, sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so told me this. God is going to say, I gave you my word, my values. You're accountable. And each and every one of us have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account if you're a believer. The Bible says what? Of what you've done. A lot of us don't want to remember that. We think I'm perfect, I'm positionally saved, enduringly saved, on and on. But you know what? You have to give an account. There's a reward system. God has a value system. What is your value system? Well, you know, if the people ask me to come to church, I'll come. But, you know, I'm so busy doing my thing. Really? And what happens when you go to the doctor and they tell you something? Oh, please help me, pray for me. The word of God says, listen. God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, that you're going to reap. You sow unto the spirit, you reap the things of the spirit. You sow unto the flesh, you reap the things of the flesh. And people that sow to the flesh, we have examples time and time again with all the money they have and the things they have, they are miserable. But of course, if that happens to you, you'll be different. So he esteemed and he forsook. Now, it's not just about refusing. It's not just about choosing. It's not just about esteeming, but there's a forsaking that must take place. It means that you have to turn, walk away, and leave. And sometimes the people you hang out with. Young folks, as good as dear as that friend is, if they're keeping you from the Lord and serving the Lord, you got to forsake them. No matter how nice you think that relationship is, if that person is not saved, you got to forsake them. He forsook Egypt. Egypt speaks of the world. He didn't bear the wrath of the king. And yes, forsaken
may mean that you're ostracized for the sake of the gospel. It may mean that. It may mean, young man, that your friends will laugh at you if you told them you're a virgin because God says, I should wait until I get married. It may mean that. It may mean when the people at work are cheating and you're not, and they get on your case. And you're wondering, how can I live through this? You know what I like about the Holy Spirit? He enables. He comes alongside. He gives me backbone. That forsaken may mean as a leader, you have to tell people things they don't want to hear. And realize they may blame you. But you realize that getting it right according to the word of God is more important than this person liking you. He forsook. Why? He endured as seeing him who is invisible. You know what we forget? We have the indwelling Holy Spirit who enables us to see, to apply, and to experience that which is invisible, the spiritual realm. And when you're able to see God, when you're able to see Christ and all that he is, all that he is to the Father, all that God is. When you know God, Jeremiah says, you will do exploits. The people who know their God will do exploits. We've been studying, knowing God all these years. Why? Because God wants you to enjoy God. You see him who is invisible. That's why you have to know your God. You know, one of the young men were coming down from the Bible class. And my wife said to them, how is the class? And he said, you know, Brother Archie, he forces you to be a critical thinker. You know why? God does not expect you to check your brain at the door. As a matter of fact, if you know God, your brain should be so illumined that when someone comes to you with nonsense, immediately the Holy Spirit jumps in and you can shred them up. Remember Adam and Eve? Why did you hide? We were afraid. Why were you afraid? Who told you? You notice God asked him all these questions? It's not that he didn't know what was going on. You see, when you know the word of God, I don't have to go back and forth with someone. I just ask them questions. I was talking to someone once and they were telling me about, you know, transgenderism and, you know, people this way. I said, let me ask you something. They said, what? I said, there was a woman, her last name was Norzel, and she was white, but she lived a whole life as if she was black. And she worked for the NAACP. And somehow word got and the parents came out and said, no, she's this. And they proved she was white. Now, she was helpful to the organization. She did all that she could think, but she identified as black. You know what they did? They fired her. They ostracized her. They did all those things to her. So I said to the person, how is her feeling she's black any different than me being biologically male and feeling I'm female, you want to ostracize her, but not this person. You thought about it. I said, you see, when you start dealing with feelings, there's a problem. God does not expect you to deal with feelings. He said, I made the world this way, and that's how I want it. And when his commandment is to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, you can only do that with male and female. And he still expects that commandment to go on. So in closing, what have you forsaken? What have you forsaken? What have you refused? What have you chose? What are you esteeming? Most importantly, who are you seeing? You seeing Jay-Z? ASAP Rocky? You seeing The Weeknd? That's who you seeing? Beyonce? J-Lo, Jello, or whatever her name is? Is that who you're seeing? Who are you seeing? Who are you seeing? Because who you see will determine how you walk. And how you walk determines how you live. And how you live determines when you stand before God what he will say to you. I pray as we go forward, if Christ be not come and I'm not here, that the young men coming up, remember, God had said, he's already said it. You don't have to question it. And you esteem the young women coming up. I see Sister Gianna and others there, Sister Bernice and Sister Rose. God has already told you, all you have to do is live it. And I'll tell you this, I have proven that God is no man's debtor. I don't say this for any glory. I was the first African-American vice president at Goldman Sachs on Wall Street. And God kept me there for close to 20 years. And he enabled me to witness for him and to use my time there and to take their money and travel and preach the word of God. So those churches that didn't have it didn't have to worry. I would tell them, don't worry about the airfare. It's covered. It's covered by the blood. So young people, you want to be successful? Refuse. Choose. Esteem. Forsake. And see. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It shall not return unto you void. We thank you that we can celebrate 105 years. And Father, you've taken us through much. Even in our celebration of 100 years, we encountered problems and you addressed it. And Father, we just thank you for those who came before us that set a legacy of faithfulness. J.B. Hunt, Brother Griffin, Theophilus Cato, Brother Esdo, Brother Fox, Brother Salmon, Brother Fred Pilgrim, Brother Darrell Neverson, oh God, Brother Berry. We thank you for them. Brother Mason, we thank you for them. And Heavenly Father, if Christ be not come, and you enable this testimony to remain, we ask, oh God, that there be faithful men still here carrying forth your work. We may not be ever be the largest, but we will always be the church that stands strong in the values of the word and the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's the only thing that will make a difference in men's lives. And Father, we just thank you for the young people coming up, Awana and Uplift and the young people's ministry. But oh God, enable them to get to the point where they desire the sincere word of truth, that they may grow and bring you honor and glory in their lives. And so we offer you on this day our praises and adoration in no other name but in the name of our risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.